Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Yeah, you just can't put your body on somebody, you know what I mean? Especially somebody's wife, you know, significant other, just perfect example, right? I seen my mans and his girl over the weekend at brunch time. And you know what I did? Okay. I dapped them both up. You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, I hugged my mans and then I gave my girl the good stiff arm. You know? It's a respect thing to me. What you think?
I mean, she seemed like she knew him. You know, she seemed like she knew him already, like he was family. He was the homie. So, you know, if I lean in for the kiss and he lean in for the kiss, I don't understand why everybody got a problem.
Okay, I feel you. But the second kiss, though, you need two kisses. Ain't French.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes you kiss people twice when you ain't seen them in a minute.
Okay. Okay.
So it's like, I'm so glad to see you.
Okay.
Again.
Okay. So
here's another
cool
kiss.
It's cool that Ghost is kissing on Beyonce. That's what you're saying.
I don't know about if
okay.
It's cool.
Okay.
I'm going to let her answer that question. You know what
okay.
I'm saying?
No, I feel you.
Because you never know with us.
You got to listen.
You got to.
We're going to get there.
We're going to get there.
What up, people? Welcome to the Over the Shoulder podcast. This is your opportunity to eavesdrop on the conversation between content creators as we discuss the ups, downs, motivations, and inspirations of creativity. I am BMO Brown, creative director and producer. Today, our lovely co-host is the incomparable Panama. Introduce yourself.
I love the way you say that. Panama. Yeah, I'm Panama. I'm a songwriter, singer, producer, live sound engineer, podcast engineer now. I'm getting into all of it. I'm doing all of it.
Look at you. We are coming to you live from the lobby of the Lion Hotel right here in Chocolate City, Washington, D.C. Shout out to our producer, Miss Alexia. Hey, girl. Hey.
Hi.
All right. We want to welcome you back to another episode of Over the Shoulder Podcast this week. Of course, y'all know my brother Tom got a job at the post office, so I don't know how many times he'll be popping up, probably like bruh man, but I want to give a shout out to Tom. And of course, our lovely founder and other co-host, Mr. Backpack Matt. Whew, say that time three times fast. Backpack Matt, want to give a shout out to him. We'll hear later from him in his In the Bag segment. He is on vacation with his girl or girl adjacent, but you know, we're not going to say nothing about it, though. Let's jump right into the show. Today's word of the day. Today's word of the day, if you're a first-time listener, each week we share a new word and try to incorporate that word throughout the episode. We try to be some smart pants over here. Today's word to you is brought to by a dictionary app that will sponsor us soon. All right? The word is harmartia, a noun. Harmartia, the character defect that causes the downfall of the protagonist of a tragedy, a tragic flaw. Noun, to quote, every person was felt to have his or her harmartia, a tragic flaw or potential for error in judgment that would frequently destroy an otherwise promising career. The common among these flaws was hubris. Harmartia. You got any thoughts on some harmartia over there? Panama.
I think Omari's harmartia.
Yeah.
Was that second kiss.
Yeah, that was true. That might be, you're right, his harmartia of kissing on Jay-Z's wife, the lovely Beyonce, might be the downfall of his career. It might have just been too much confidence, too.
Cardi,
you know,
kisses.
I mean?
Hey.
Hey, you know what I'm saying?
Hubris.
But you know what? I want to shake up the format of the show a little bit. Panama, you mind if we leak a song worldwide?
Let's do it.
All right, cool. Alexia, if you don't mind playing Water for us one time, and turn it up so the people can know. Uh-oh, we got Water by Panama. We'll be right back with Over the Shoulder.
Submerged under the depths of the sea. but never hard enough for me to let you go. This ain't none of your friend's business. They can feel the flame from the heat that I feel for you.
That is a banger, Panama. Tell me about Water real quick.
Man, Water is such a complicated song, but it's simple. It's really about fighting between the fire and the water, the good and the bad in yourself, and learning to deal with both. The fact that you are both. You are an asshole, and you are also an angel.
Ooh.
So,
yeah. All right. All right. We're going to have some more leakage from Panama. Wait, hold up. We're going to have some more brand new music from Panama coming up soon. We're going to do that real soon. Panama, you mind if I go a little too deep real fast?
Not at all.
All right, y'all. I want to, for our experienced listeners and for our new listeners, this is a section called BMO Goes Too Deep. As a content creator, I find it pivotal to constantly investigate that which inspires, confounds, and disrupts creativity. Each week, I explore one creative concept, deconstruct it to its creative atoms, and analyze its foundations in hopes of expanding the discovery of the creative process. This week, I was inspired by a group of middle school girls. Check me out. So last week in the Washington Post, there was a news story about a group of middle school girls who challenged their school's administration on the principles of feminism and the continued era of women speaking up on behalf of their safety and inclusion. So what had happened was, as you probably remember from your middle school and high school days, a list was created by a group of boys that was ranking the girls on their looks, 1 through 5, I think, that was going through. And the boys were so detailed that they had a decimal system, right? So one of the girls on the list got a hold of the list and took it to the administration. After a short investigation, the administration suspended one male student for one day. In response, though, the original girl galvanized all the middle school girls in her class to take action and challenge the administration by citing the school was an unsafe environment that breeds toxic masculinity and disregards the safety of the girls. The final solution, though, which I think is pretty dope, was there was a school-wide talk between the boys and the girls regarding this issues. And it ended with the boys' apology. We'll see in the future if there will actually be changed behavior. But personally, I think that's I think that's some badass shit, to be honest with you. Right. So shout out to them. Here's where I get a little too deep, though. You can react to the story as you will. But after reflection, my final thought was simple. Listen to women. Nostalgically, you can probably recall doing something similar in your past. Lord knows I did. We had a three-number system, okay? But ultimately, your participation doesn't disqualify the reaction that you incited. So be an adult and listen. If you don't like the reaction, adjust the catalyst, right? That's real cool to say in the abstract. Let me tell you how over the weekend this lesson came literally yelling in my face, right? So I'm at the Big Chief, having a good time, getting my drink on, getting my money, doing my dance, minding my business. Out of nowhere, I'm telling you, Panna, out of nowhere, a young lady pulls me by my coat and starts reading me my rights. She says I'm tall and dark-skinned. That makes me scary. She says I look like a weed and a drug addict. If I went to jail, I'd be the dark, scary person that's fucking everybody in the ass. She said that to me. And to my response, I said, hi, my name is BMO. It's nice to meet you. Never spoke to this girl in my life. So naturally, I wish I was that cool, but naturally I had a response and I retorted in like self-defense. And from the outside looking at it, it didn't look good, I'll be honest with you. So my homegirl, Janae, she came up to me and she said, B, I think you need to calm down and just listen. So I listened, remembering these middle school girls, right? So I'm sitting there, and this young lady is still reading me my rights, telling me things about myself that I never heard of, that I had never even encountered before. So another young lady walks up to me. God bless black women. She walks up to me, and she says, King, if you sit here and listen, you realize she's not talking to you. And I'm like, huh? What do you mean? So I remember my middle school girls again, and I sit there, and I listen to this young lady who just walked up to me, and I say, okay, I listen. And it turns out this young lady is drunk, and she is screaming at me about pains and traumas that I have no idea about. Like, it's not regarding me at all. So I let her finish. When she's finished, she kind of sits on the couch. She starts crying. I go outside, have a quick panic attack. I'm going to be real with you. It's a lot to take in at one time. Come back upstairs, and I apologize to the young lady. I apologize for yelling at you. I should have listened to you to begin with. You were trying to tell me something, right? So here's my point, though. As a creative and a content creator, the abstract is cool when you like just smoking blunts in your house. But if you want to create and respond, sometimes, and especially in this situation, the direct action isn't action. The direct action is to listen. And BMO just went too deep on you. Take that. If you can't find it, go swim for it. Panama, you got a response to it?
I do. I think that if my daughters would have did something like this in high school, you know, they might have never gotten grounded ever again. You could make me more proud. You know what I mean? You couldn't do more for standing up for yourself in a time where it's really hard to stand up for yourself. Everything in your body teaches you to follow what the cool person does and be okay with just accepting ridiculous things that happen to you and that people think about you just because you're a girl. And so for them to stand up and really like, nah, this is what y'all did was, you know, how y'all punished this boy was not good enough. Okay. Mm-hmm. It was not good enough. Mm-hmm. And now we want y'all to take more action.
Right.
Now, I'm sure they were helped, you know, by some people in their family. So I applaud the parents, too, who got them to think that way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I hope that the administration really learned from that.
Yeah.
And I hope other schools and other students learn from that. I hope that reverberates.
Right.
I hope that energy, let's keep that same energy in all schools.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
You're right. I think the most beautiful part about that resolution was it didn't end with the boys getting more suspension time.
Right.
It ended with a conversation amongst the school about, let me just show you from our perspective how shitty y'all being right now.
Because that's not going to teach them nothing.
Nope, it's not.
They just going to be mad. They might go back and retaliate.
Right. And it'd be worse. But for the solution to end with a conversation, the boys ended up apologizing on their own merit.
Come on.
Listen to women. So that's the end of the BMO deep segment. As I said, our partner, Backpack Matt, is across seas right now on vacation, but he did send us in a lovely segment. I think, Alexia, can we cue that up? Are we ready to go? Matt, what you got to say, man?
What up? It's Backpack Matt. Currently out of the country right now at Nevis at the Four Seasons. I did pretty good for my 9-to-5 this year, and they rewarded me by allowed me to go on this full expenses paid vacation for the week. But besides that, I think I need it. I'm going pretty hard for the past year and a half. And honestly, it feels good to kind of chill out for a minute and really enjoy the scenery. And it's scenery is amazing out here, y'all. I'll take hella photos and I'll tell you all about it when I get back. But, you know, the point of this is not about my recap of my vacation because I just got here. Really, it's about being in my motherfucking bag. So I want to chill out with the energy for a little bit and kind of talk more about Nipsey Hussle. Obviously, I think everybody knows at this point that Nip was killed in his own store on Sunday, March 31st. And it just sent shockwaves throughout the entire world, I believe. It really shocked my world for real. You know, I'm not really the type of dude who cries or tears up or gets really emotional, but I couldn't hold it. You know, I was really messed up. And, you know, over the past couple of days, over the past two or three days, I've really been reflecting why it hit me so hard, you know. And it goes back to like 10 years, man. I've been a fan and a supporter of this man since I was like almost 19. You know, I just almost finished my first year at Stanford University. I was a kid coming out of PG. I went to school with all black people pretty much my whole life up until then. And then I go to one of the most prestigious schools in the world where it's only 10% black. And although that 10% was very strong and we had a lot of resources and strong community and sense of self, you know, just being that whole culture shock of going across the country and into a totally different landscape and environment really shook me. So I relied heavily on hip hop. You know, I was really big on the blogs and making beats and following the latest music and all the mixtapes. And downloading the exclusives when I was in high school, and I tried to carry that into college. That's how I got the moniker Backpack Matt. I was in college when I was just carrying my backpack around everywhere I went, besides just school stuff, you know, because I always had, you know, an extra laptop on me or a beat machine or some type of thing to kind of do some creative stuff with. So I always had a bag with me, you know, and so I created the name Backpack Matt. But besides the point, I was riding for Nipsey heavy, bro. Like, we had this event every week called Thump Off Thursdays. It was Thursday nights, and we had a black dorm, so it was a dorm dedicated to African-American history, basically. And we would set up shop in there in the TV lounge, and a few of the barbers from the area from out of East Palo Alto, and a few of the dudes who were a little older, upperclassmen who knew how to cut, would come down and cut hair, you know. And so, obviously, in Palo Alto, it's not a lot of resources to get barbershops for black hair, so... You know, they set up a situation. It was mostly done by the alphas, and I'm also an alpha, so I carried that tradition on when I became an alpha. But we would always talk hip hop. We would have like the Michael Jordan VHS reels or the DVD reels, and we would just, you know, it was like imagine the barbershop culture, but college black kids, man. That it was lit. We would talk everything, and so I would ride heavy for Nipsey, and I would get a clown. They'd be like, oh, the fake Snoop, the fake this, the fake that. But I seen early that homie was different, man. You could tell from the interviews, and I know that a lot of you seen the interviews over this past few days, and just in terms of how genius this guy was. But it wasn't the fact that he was just a genius. He was consistently a genius. You look at when he died, he had the cornrows with like the 8-inch hang time with the off the cornrows, and he had the full beard, right? But if you go back to when he had the fitted hat, the bush under the fitted hat, and just a mustache and a little bit of a chin hair joint, he was talking the same shit. He was talking about Haile Selassie. He was talking about African roots. He was talking about industry. He was talking about the impacts of slavery. He was talking about not buying too much jewelry because he wanted something that would appreciate. He invested in appreciative assets. And this was maybe 10 years ago. Homie was in his early 20s. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of us don't even come to this realization until we in our 30s and 40s. So... simple fact that this man got killed in his own shop by somebody who was a former associate of his that he asked politely or respectfully to leave, it just breaks my heart, man. You know, I was a kid. I was like 5 or 6 when Pac died, so it really didn't hit me that hard. It hit my pop hard. But this is something I can't categorize, man. I can't categorize this death, and it really shakes me up, man, because it was more than just a rapper. You know, he was a community figure. Yeah. He was a figurehead in the community. He was active in the community. He invested in the community. He made great music. He got the girl of his dreams. He got the girl of many other niggas' dreams. He did everything the right way. He turned nothing into something. He turned being a rolling 60s Crip to being one of the biggest entrepreneurs in LA and giving back into his community, not just, but staying in that same community. I don't know too many people who double down on their communities. They might rep where they from, but they're not there no more and they don't come back. Nip was staying there. What does that tell you about the type of a character of a man like that? And to lose that, and the implication that that has on other black men like myself and BMO and many other brothers who called me in the past couple of days just to check in on me, and I appreciate that. But it just goes to show that, you know, these are my friends. We didn't even have that many conversations about Nipsey. So it's just crazy the impact on him separately towards us as individuals and how that permeated with us and how we became friends probably through that same gravitational pull. I was influenced by Nipsey. BMO was influenced by Nipsey. Therefore, me and BMO had a connection before we even shook hands. And that's the power of black brotherhood. That's the power of the black man. And we lost a really good one this past weekend. And so I don't think it's about carrying on his tradition. I don't think it's about carrying on his legacy, because that's his legacy. And he can only carry that. So I think his legacy is cemented, and he will forever go on as one of the greatest, regardless of what you thought of his music, regardless of when you got hip to his music, the character of a man in and of itself. There's this one poem that I read when I was an alpha, when I was trying to become an alpha, and I won't speak more on that, but it was it's a poem called If by Rudyard Kipling, and it states, if you can walk with kings nor lose the common touch, right? It was going through all these declarations of, if you can do this, then essentially, you know, you are a real man. You know, so if you can walk with kings, if you can be amongst the Jay-Z's, the Beyoncé's, you know, the Meeks, the court side at the game, right? But never lose the common touch. He was right there the next day, back on Slauson, back in his shop that he owned, his block that he owned, becoming a civil servant to his community. You know, so if anything, we don't necessarily need to follow his same blueprint, but there are some clear principles that we need to abide by in the name of Nipsey and others like him. Who weren't able to complete their mission, and it is our duty to complete our missions as we see it fit, as black men and women. Thanks.
Oh man, thanks, Matt. I appreciate that. I appreciate that heartfelt sentiment about Nipsey Hussle. Man, it's a you're so right on so many things, man. It's a hard blow. It was a hard thing to say on Monday morning. Rest in peace to Nipsey Hussle. Like. What the pain surrounding his death will be felt throughout the culture and throughout the world for a while. And to Matt's point, his legacy is cemented. Nipsey Hussle is now a giant on which whose shoulders I stand on. So, I mean, there's so much to say. You saw a lot of the reaction on Twitter and Instagram, people throwing out conspiracy theories, which, you know, I'm fine with because, you know, it's black folks. Oftentimes grieving is just not one level, it's multi-level. We have a history of things being taken away from us, whether it be within our community, outside of community, or an influence from a third party. So you got to let people grieve. You got to let people mourn the way they want to mourn. Some people think Tupac and Cupid right now. And let them have it. You know what I'm saying? Whatever makes you get up in the morning and make you keep creating. Hope is all we got. Hope is all we got. There you go, Panama.
I think, it's just really sad for us to even be talking about this. I hate that I even have to. I don't like talking about this, frankly.
I don't.
You know, losing somebody like that is just so devastating. But it's also galvanizing. Mm-hmm. And that's the... some of the beauty in all of this is that when you realize, when you see his impact, you think about what he did to make that impact.
That's right.
And
that's
it
right.
makes you question what you're doing.
That's right.
And that's one of the beautiful things about death. Mm-hmm. It makes you adjust your life. It makes those people who are left behind, who, you know, are carrying on your memory and your legacy. It galvanizes those people to really look inward,
right,
and make some changes, some real changes. And so I hope, again, like through all this ridiculous stuff that's going on, it's affecting us positively.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you. I hope that people take away some of the greatest parts of his legacy, including like tying merch into your direct sales of your music, mm-hmm. something that Ashton Travis and Nicki Minaj definitely took part of. The whole whale, the whale investment thing when he made the $1,000 CDs,
yeah.
and people were coming to check him out, and
that
before
scarcity.
You know it, you got. Yeah, that's crazy. Like, he read that in the book. He talks about that strategy very often. If you go look at the interviews, the Breakfast Club interviews, you can get some of these gems. So I hope that we can continue the momentum that Nipsey left and some of the knowledge that he continues to impart. And it just goes to remind you, this work ain't safe, Panama.
It sure ain't.
It ain't safe. People think that, you know, we just out here curating concerts and looking cute with our jean jackets. But, you know, this work ain't safe. So as shook as I am about the death of Nipsey Hussle, I ain't scared.
Say that again.
As shook as I am about the death of Nipsey Hussle, I ain't scared. I ain't scared of you motherfuckers. You hear me? So let's get some energy popping back into the podcast. Alexia, if you don't mind queuing up the next joint. Panama, we got another leak.
Oh, yeah?
Tell us about it.
Oh, yeah. So this next joint is it's an interesting story.
Uh-huh.
It's an interesting story. I won't say too much. I might incriminate myself.
Okay.
But made it on the plane with some things.
With some things.
And, you know, I made it through.
Okay.
I'm here.
Here we are.
And this is California Kryptonite.
Don't you let me down. California Kryptonite. Calling from the inside. I hear you, but I'm occupied. And pack you by the travel light. I take you on the road. I know you wanna fly with me. Deep down inside of me. Let's play a little hide and seek. Belly full of butts is breaking down and about to pop. I got the drugs inside my guts and I don't plan to stop. TSA is watching but I'm almost through the gate. And now I'm really jogging, trying to make a little haste. I'm like a bull in a china shop, I'm nervous. I keep on going, never tell me stop, I'm nervous. And if I make it to the plane, everything is gonna be alright. But this could be the best high. Hope the pilot don't let me down.
Don't you let me down.
Hope my body don't let me down.
Don't you let me down.
And if you want to then sing it out.
Don't you let me down.
California Kryptonite. Calling from the inside. I hear you, but I'm in the sky. If we make this trip, we set for life. Can I take you on the road? I know you wanna fly with me. Deep down inside of me. Let's play a little hide and seek. My stomach shakes and suddenly I start to levitate. High into the sky, I feel the wind caress my face. Turbulence shaking everybody on the plane. The pilot's freaking out, somehow I don't feel a thing. The bag inside bursted open. We going down, but I just don't feel nothing. If it's the end, I'm dying with the smile. And I guess this will be the best high of my life. Now I'm never ever coming down. I guess this will be the best high of my life. Never ever coming down. I guess this will be the best high of my life. I'm never ever coming down. I guess this will be the best high of my life. Never ever coming down. I guess this will be the best high of my life.
Thank you. man, and we right back. Panama, Panama, Panama. That's another hit. You got another one, dog. Oh, man, we are right back to the Over the Shoulder podcast. I'm your host, B-Mo. We're here with our lovely guest co-host, Miss Panama. Let's get into it, man. Panama.
Yes.
Tell us about yourself. What you got on your plate? What's going on?
What's on my plate? Man, finishing all these 20 albums that I'm working on right
now. Wow. Wow. Talk about it.
So I'm working on Risa Renee's project, finishing up some new joints with Alex Vaughn. Got a project in the works with Mojo. Got a project in the works with Chris Allen.
Ooh.
Like, I can keep going, but the rest is still.
Those are heavy hitters, man.
Yeah, Mo. And also mine.
Oh, yeah.
can't forget about mine.
Talk to us about that process. Like, you do a lot of songwriting. Like, I've known you in the city for like 8-9 years now. Mm-hmm. And I've seen you involved with a lot of great musicians in the city. And and some people have even quoted that, you know, you're the secret weapon, boom scat, behind like some of the great work that they've done. So how do you transfer that songwriting knowledge into coming up with your own material and releasing yourself as an independent artist?
Well, that's a great question. Mm-hmm. That's a great question, BMO.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I get inspired by any and everything. And the amazing thing with working with other people is you get two brains. And so you get two worlds of experiences. You get, and if it's more than two, then you get three.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So there's just a lot of everything to build upon. And interestingly enough, it's actually harder for me to do it for myself.
Really?
Because I tend to be really private and not want to tell my own story, which is why I love working with other people, because I like telling stories. I like telling their stories, okay? Mm-hmm. My music is a lot of like half-truths. And some are like bare truths. So it's, I kind of mix my own up. But I'm inspired by everything. Like, you know, I'm inspired by bugs crawling on trees.
Right.
I'm inspired by people snapping, people talking too loud on the train, on the phone, you know, everything. I take voice notes of sounds that I find interesting.
I've seen that.
I just went to the Art Tech House and I was in that joint recording everything. I was like, ooh, I like this sound. And best believe I'm going to use them. So
that's dope. That's dope. We were talking a couple of minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
As a content creator and creative director and manager, I have gone into the studio with some artists. Mm-hmm. I choose not to sometimes because I feel like, you know what I'm saying, that's your moment. It's like you going to the bathroom. I don't really be there with you and see what
it's
you
close.
Create, right? So, but I've seen it, and one of the things I'm very impressed with is like the confidence that it takes to record like a song or an album. Talk to me more about that.
So the interesting about the voice as an instrument, right? This is an instrument that is directly affected by everything that's going on with your body.
Right.
And so that can either be a force for high self-esteem, or that can kill your confidence, because anything that's going on with you can be heard in your voice.
Right.
Every and anything. If you hurt your foot, you can hear that in your voice. If you didn't get sleep last night, you can hear that in your voice.
Mm-hmm.
If you slept too much, if you were crying, if you're excited. And so you bring all of those things with you into the booth.
Interesting.
And so it takes a lot of confidence and a lot of determination, mental determination especially, to think past what your physical body is outputting.
Right, right.
And change that. So, you know, if I'm having a good day, but I need to sing a sad song, I have to bypass what's going on in my body. I have to bypass all the happiness and the chemical endorphins and everything that's going on inside of me so I don't sound like I feel.
Wow.
And that takes a lot of confidence. And it also just takes confidence just to be okay with what's coming out. Because most of us naturally hate the sound of our own voices,
which is
so weird.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Why? Why do we hate the sound of our own voices?
It's God's way of keeping you humble.
Hey.
There you go. A bar.
A bar.
You
using
hear me?
That.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, so it takes a lot of confidence and a lot of gumption and a lot of determination to get around that. But when you do, and when you can continue to build that muscle memory and get to it faster than before, you're good. You're good. You can keep doing this.
Man, that is so interesting. You know, I say this, don't correct me, as one of the people with not that much talent, I find it so interesting the way that y'all produce things in the environment and the atmosphere that's got to be around you to make that happen. I want to ask you an industry question, though.
Okay.
So I'm noticing, like, I made a prediction maybe like 6 weeks ago, and I'm still sticking by it.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are going to realize one day that they don't own the music that they listen to. And they are going to revert back to ownership of music through physical or even like through like actual downloads and not necessarily streaming. What are your thoughts on that?
Now, that is only possible if we go back to another physical medium.
Interesting.
Because that is coming.
Yeah.
Like, and Nipsey's death is helping to remind people of the power that they hold within their careers, business wise.
Right, you're right.
And so that's going to happen, right?
Right.
People are going to want to reclaim their stuff off all these streaming sites that are not paying well, are not paying properly. And so that's possible, but in what format is that going to happen?
That's true.
Because I ain't carrying around nobody's USBs.
I'm not going to carry around stacks of USBs.
How are we going to transfer this information? Now that's what's going to be
interesting.
Key. How are we going to transmit these new songs? Are you going to start airdropping albums to people? Are you going to start Bluetoothing albums to people? Are we going to, you know, what is going to be that new physical medium? And understand that Silicon Valley is already working on that.
It's already working. That's true.
We late. You know,
yeah,
it's just,
we late. You're we right. late. We late. You're right.
You know, something's coming.
Yeah.
We don't know what yet, but you know, there's going to be, people are going to start reclaiming their music and redistributing it the way they want it to be.
You're right.
And they should.
I saw that on, if you aren't subscribed to the Eventbrite blog, you are tripping. This is my second time saying it on the podcast, but I saw last year at the end of 2018, Eventbrite put out a blog saying that tape, vinyl, and CD sales were the highest they had been in years, like 20, 25 years or something like that. And I had an artist come up to me and was like, BMO, what you think about me making a tape? I said, I think tapes are really pop, but I think they're really pop when somebody makes a new tape player.
Boop.
You see what I'm saying? So to your point, there's going to have to be a new something because I think people want to hold their music. I think that's something that's very important.
Yeah, 10 years later, we realize we've been duped.
Yeah, we've been duped. Honestly, I think it's going to take like, you remember when Instagram went out like a couple weeks ago? A couple weeks ago, it was like out for like 8-9 hours and people were like, damn, okay.
What do I do now?
What do I do now? And Twitter was popping again. It's going to take like Apple Music or Tidal shutting down for like 8 hours so people would be like, damn, I can't listen to Surf.
And wait, that's usually how it happens.
Yeah.
There's something happens where we just lose, you know, our main conduit. And then we're like, oh, shit. We got to figure something else out.
What are we going to do now?
Now we got to figure something else out because the next time this happens, this can't happen again.
This can't happen again. So, yeah, I think that's very interesting. And as I'll say it again for all those people listening over the shoulder, as an artist, I would seriously invest in putting physicals into your merch catalog. Get you some CDs or get you some drop cards with the download code on them or get you some tapes. Make it real cute because when people come to shows, they want to support you. They want to be able to put money in your hand so they can take away something in their hand. I think owning music and physical music is as nostalgic and forever as a piece of paper.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So we got one more thing I want to kind of talk about and then we can wrap the show up. Have you been watching Will Smith's Bucket List?
I have not. I've been hearing about it, but I haven't.
So I think this is a very interesting like piece of content when it comes to content creation. I always tell people that contrast is content. So if you do something and you do something in the opposite of that, you don't have two pieces of content, you have three pieces of content. In that same field, we're looking at Will Smith's new show. It's called Bucket List. It premieres on Facebook. The most interesting thing about it to me, though, is the whole show is revolved around watching Will Smith fail. Watching a movie star that we have seen in like Fresh Prince, and he saved the world in Independence Day, he saved the world in I, Robot, he saved the world in The Pursuit of Happiness, or at least he made me cry in The Pursuit of Happiness, right? We've seen this man be perfect throughout his whole career, and then the piece of content
Sorry, I just had to say it.
And Wild Wild West. But the piece of content that he chose to produce as his first exploration into like this amateur I can touch you social media age is a series about watching him fail. Just a quick recap. Will Smith, name of the show is Bucket List, where he's doing these things that he's afraid of because he finds that after fear is the best part of discovery and the human experience. So I think that's a great concept.
Great lesson.
Right? So the first episode, he does skydiving with Jada. And it sounds cool, and it's all good, but then his father-in-law has a heart attack while they're doing the skydiving.
Lord.
Right? So, damn. Fail number one. His second one, he tries stand-up comedy for the first time. It's cute. It's cool. But it's overall really not that funny. So we watch him kind of fail on that front. Then he runs a marathon. Can't finish the marathon. Can't run all the way through. Will Smith, action star. Remember his famous quote? If I'm on a treadmill, you're going to have to run me to death to outrun me on the treadmill. But he can't finish the marathon. Fail. And then the last one, he's building a relationship with his son. They're doing a driving test. And he loses to his son in the driving test. Another fail. I think that is so beautiful as a content creator myself. I think it's beautiful that we can express our flaws and still make them into valuable content. What are your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. As a music maker, yeah, you can express your flaws on wax, and they sound amazing.
Oh man, we just tied it in.
Okay.
Well, look at that. Well, good people. I think that's the end of our conversation. You got anything else you want to throw in there, Ms. Panama?
I just want to tell artists out there to protect themselves business wise.
Okay. Yeah.
And to get their data. Get your data. Whatever your numbers are, anywhere and everywhere. If you ever put a song anywhere, get your data and use your data to make more.
There you go. Where can they find you, Panama?
You can find me everywhere. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, SoundCloud, Spotify. Earth to Panama, EARTHTOPANAMA. And, yeah, that's it.
Again, I'm
new shit coming, new shit coming.
Oh, watch out. So make sure you follow those platforms.
Internet is coming soon.
Uh-oh. I know you've seen I seen the teasers on Instagram. I know it's coming down the pipe. Again, I'm your host, BMO Brown. You can follow me at BMO Brown, BEMO Brown, on all social media platforms. Make sure you follow Over the Shoulder Podcast at OTS Pod on all social media platforms. We want to give another shout out to the Line Hotel for having us here. Thank you, Alexia. Thanks for holding us down one more time. Until next week, we'll see you soon. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.